Thanks, Amy. This is a series called Together. We are wrapping it up today. I told you guys even back in August that I was excited for September. I was excited for what this month meant. I was excited for what this series meant for us as a church and what we would do with it. And it has been everything for me personally that I hoped that it would be. I hope it's been meaningful to you. Thanks for tuning in today, wherever you're joining us from. Happy Sunday. It's a good day because you're here. Like we sang in that song, Make Room, we don't have just another Sunday at Bridgepoint, ever, really, because God's God and we're not. So what if whatever brought you here today, whatever you were expecting here today, what if you and I really do make some room in our hearts just to see what God would have in store for us? And what if the God of the universe wants to speak directly to you? Maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you're all in on this. Maybe you're somewhere in between. What if today we just collectively make room and see what God has in store? There's not just another Sunday at Bridgepoint. Next week, make sure you come back. We're starting a new series called United, Living United When Things Feel Divided. Anybody have a perspective on the world, on the culture, on their lives, on their jobs, in their families where things feel a little bit divided? We're going to talk about what it means as believers to rise above the division, to live to a higher, bigger, more God-sized standard. And I'm really excited about that. We're gonna jump in with some fun stuff next week. Bring some friends back for the month of October. That one's going to be a lot of fun. If you've missed this series as we wrap it up today, this was the opportunity for us as a church to walk through our mission. I've got to preach all 4 weeks of this one because we wanted to make sure we were all together on what the mission of Bridgepoint was and what the month of September would allow us to do. More on that in a second. If you've missed any of the weeks, just to catch you up on what we're wrapping up today, it's this. Last week, we talked about this big idea. Because heaven will be a picture of a diverse welcoming of all people that are in Jesus, let's live to see that picture in God's family on earth. That's going to be the heartbeat of our church. That's going to be what we're called to. That's going to be what we live for, all people. And all people includes you, and it includes me. It's all of us, and it's those of us that aren't here yet, because all of us would stand to benefit from getting closer to God. Why? Because in week two of the series, we had this big idea that real and eternal life is on the other side of our surrender to Jesus. That's the bottom line. That's what the songs we've been singing about are all about. The fact that if we'll let go of control, let go of fighting, let go of trying to handle things on our own, let go of trying to deal with the weight of the expectations that our lives are supposed to be perfect as if that was our job to begin with. If it was, why are we doing such a poor job at it? But what if everything that we're searching for that would provide us fulfillment and hope and love and grace and peace is just on the other side of our willingness to let go of the fight and to grab a hold of the peace that is offered in Jesus? That was week two. We kicked the whole thing off helping everybody understand this big idea that the Bible is known as the Word of God given to speak life into our dead souls. That's why if you've been around Bridgepoint for any length of time, if you keep coming around Bridgepoint, the songs that we sing, the messages that you hear, the talks that these are a part of will always come from this book because this book stands alone as the written word of God, the power to speak on God's behalf into our souls, to speak life into places that are oftentimes for us dead. And that's why this matters. So you need to know that our mission is not built off of personality. It's not built off of preferences. It's not built off of a person. It's not on style. It's not on method. It's not on any of those things. It actually flows directly from what we believe God has called us to uniquely live out as a church right here in Pinellas County and to the ends of the earth. And so it's exciting for us that this is a kingdom, God-sized mission. But that's what this series has been built off of, is the idea that together we need to make some decisions. Together we have to decide some things. What's been really cool is that every week that we've been regathering in person, I've met first-time guests. I've heard that it's been in our downtown campus as well. New folks are still interested in what God is doing here, and I'm excited about that. It gives us the question that for new folks, it's time for them to decide, is this somewhere that I can call home? Is this a mission that I want to be a part of? Is this a God thing that I would like to invest myself in? And then for those of us that have been around Bridgepoint for a minute, We've been in a season of transition. We're kind of coming out of that season now, and we're looking at the world in all that it is. And we're looking at our personal lives and all that it is and deciding for ourselves, is this the space that God has uniquely called us as individuals to live out a mission that's much, much bigger than us? A movement of God will not be stopped. The question is simply, are you in on the movement to be used by God however he sees fit? Together, that's the decision ahead of us. And that's what the point of all this is. We want to be about a God-sized mission. And together, we need to determine if it's a mission we find ourselves in or not. What's the mission? I'm glad that you asked. Bridgepoint's mission. We exist to help people, all people, get closer to God. It is that simple. It is going to be that laser focused. We will be that purposeful and thoughtful and intentional on what we are known for as a church. The who is all people. The why is seeing them get closer to God. The foundation of it all is the word of God. But what we want to be known for in our community, and this is what I want to spend just a minute talking about today. What we want everybody in Pinellas County, what we want the world to know about Bridgepoint Church, what drives us, what we will be identified by, is the what of our mission, and that's this. We want to help people. That's the what. That's what we want to be known for. Not with strings attached, not with expectations, not with demands or anything else. We'll help you if you do X, Y, or Z. That's not going to be our heartbeat. The what that Bridgepoint will be known for is helping people. I think it's well on its way. For 14 years, our church has been in existence. Our founding pastor planted it with this being the focus. You heard Amy talking about building beds. We have in our missions area looking for more cold night shelter volunteers. Believe it or not, cold nights will be coming. Believe it or not, all right? Trust us on that. They always do. Lots of opportunities, but here's the thing. Even as we have been known for what we want to, what we do, we want to continue to grow in our community for people to know Bridgepoint is a place of helpers. And yeah, we have an agenda. We'd love to see people get closer to God. And yeah, we have a target. It's all people. And yeah, we have a kingdom, God-sized mission in front of us, but we want to be known first and foremost as helpers. That's what we feel called to. That's what we feel like we want to be all about as a church. And so the question for you and for me, as we process together, is this my mission? Is this what God has called me to? The question you need to ask yourself today is God calling me to be a helper? Now, before you go too far down the line of thinking, let me give you one quick caution about how the enemy, as much as there's a God that is for you with plans and purpose, I also believe, and according to scripture, there's proof that there's an enemy that's absolutely bent on your destruction. The enemy's going to want you to tune into this message and view it through the lens of your performance. To view it from the lens of whether or not you're doing enough, to view this message through the lens of, well, if you really want to experience the most from God, then you need to make sure you're doing X, Y, and Z. So let me caution you up front, as we'll caution you as we go through this. This message is actually not about what you do. Did you hear me? This message is actually not about what you do. Wait, we want to be known for being helpers, but you're telling me we actually don't want to be known for what we do. Hold on. Here's the reality. If you and I will make it our personal pursuits to get closer to God, if we'll continually to submit ourselves, to make room, letting go of traditions, letting go of our religion, like we sang about, making room for Jesus to move in our hearts, then the closer we get to God and the more he makes us who he wants us to be, we will naturally find ourselves beginning to do what he wants us to do. And to get that order backwards can actually be a strong temptation for all of us. This is not a message that's going to dictate your performance, because if you reach a place where you feel like you have to do something for God, if you reach a place that you feel like Almighty God in his infiniteness is dependent upon you for something, we are missing the point collectively. And if I, as a preacher, take on too much weight that God is dependent upon me for anything, we're missing what God wants to do. Just for a little bit of clarity, God will not be impressed with your busyness or lack thereof. Now, at the exact same moment that you're recognizing that the enemy's going to tempt you to feel like you need to be doing things, the enemy will at the same time say, well, if God's not dependent upon you, then why worry about anything? You see both sides of that coin? I want you to be ready as we go into this message that that's part of what you're going to be hearing as you walk through this, is as much as there's a God with plans for you, there's an enemy that's bent on your destruction. So for clarity, God isn't dependent upon you, but can you imagine the excitement and the passion and the purpose that comes if you and I will say, oh God, that you would use us to be a part of something so much bigger than we could ask or deserve for ourselves? Can you imagine what God would do with a mobilized group of people that are seeking to be helpers in Jesus' name? You cannot stop a movement of God. That's what's in front of us today. Now, let me also point out, as you get closer to God, that will by default propel you and even compel you to want to help people. Jesus turned the world on its head with the way he loved people. Jesus changed everything by lowering the bars of expectation and just serving, just loving, just helping people because it was the right thing to do. And so today, what I hope you hear and what I hope you get just a little taste of is the goodness of Jesus that's found when you and I begin to walk in his purpose. If you don't know Jesus, just track with me and ask yourself, how would my life look different if I gave Jesus a chance to speak into it? What would change? Would my purpose change? Would my value change? Would my worth change? What would change about my perspective if Jesus became the center of that? And here's what I want you to hear. I want to read an eyewitness account of Jesus' life. This was written by a guy named Matthew. We talked about him last week just a little bit. Matthew was one of Jesus' closest disciples, and as a follower of Jesus that was originally completely hated by people because he was a tax collector, and then Jesus welcomes him in, Matthew begins recording not only statements of Jesus' words and his life, but actions that Jesus lived. This one, I'm sure, was a little bit awkward for Matthew to record. Let me give you the setting. Matthew is listening to the group of disciples that are following Jesus, and two of them were brothers. The brother's mama showed up and had a conversation with Jesus about her precious little boys. She said, Jesus, you know my sons. Don't you love them? They're in your 12. They're really close to you, and you've probably noticed that they are great boys. Right, Jesus? So Jesus, in your kingdom, and maybe once you go to heaven, and Jesus, when you're sitting on your throne, you've seen my boys. It speaks for themselves. But Jesus, would you allow my boys, one of them to sit? You sit on the throne. You're center. All attention to you. We get that. But Jesus, would you let my boys one sit on your left and one sit on your right when you get to your throne in heaven? Because it's my boys. Jesus is listening to this woman, and I can totally relate because my kids are also very advanced and among the best that have ever lived. So she's doing what any good parent would do, right? But Jesus is helping her understand that, listen, mama, what you're asking, you actually have no clue. You have no clue what you're saying. And of course, he did it in a very loving way. But his response to her totally helped the disciples, totally helped this mama, and totally helped everybody understand that the kingdom of Jesus was not measured in the same way that it is to you and I. I want you to see his words as recorded by Matthew. This is in chapter 20, verses 26 through 28. Jesus says, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great." Check this out. He's changing everything, flipping everything about greatness that his disciples knew. Whoever would be great. Is greatness your pursuit? Is standing your pursuit? Is achievement your pursuit? Are you a goal-driven person? Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. And he continues, even as the Son of Man, Jesus, in the flesh, God in the flesh, King of kings and Lord of lords, as he's known. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here's the King of Kings, God in human flesh. And his goal was not to show up on earth to all the fanfare that says the king has arrived. Instead, the king, God in flesh, came in such a way that his goal was to help, to serve, to bow low to others, not accentuating his stature, position, and authority, but instead emptying himself of those things so that he could serve, even serve to the point of giving his life for others. Maybe this is new to you. Maybe you've grown up in church. I want to make sure everybody's on the same page that the statement Jesus just made is that he inclines himself to the broken, to the hurting, to the marginalized, to the cast aside, to the people who feel like they have nothing to offer their culture, and to the people who feel like they're not seen by their culture in general. God cares for the least. And if you walked in today, or if you tuned in today, feeling, wondering, does anybody see me? Does anybody know my story? Does anybody know my hurt and my pain? I need you to know that not just because he said it, but eyewitnesses recorded that he demonstrated it. Jesus came hoping to get closer to you. That's why he came, to serve you, to mend your broken heart, to be near to you as you felt it, to walk with you as you felt like nobody else cared. That's who our Jesus is. To be a servant of Jesus, to get closer to Jesus, will naturally propel you to wanting to help people. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. Let me give you an example. The temptation for a lot of us, and I hear it oftentimes as a pastor, is, well, pastor, I would serve, but I don't know that I have that much to offer. Or pastor, would you pray for my coworker? Because they need to hear about you. And I would tell them, but I just don't know if I have all the right answers. Or pastor, I would love that my friends and family come to church, but I'm just a little afraid that I'd fumble the invitation and just end up going to lunch instead of church. Or I would love to give to something like this. I believe in this. I'm behind it, but I got to get my finances together first. And if we're not careful, we will excuse ourselves completely because we haven't arrived enough to serve. That wasn't the picture that Jesus painted. Let me let you peek behind the curtain a little bit. I've tried to do that a little over the course of this series. To me, in my journey, I'm not standing on stage. I'm not privileged with the opportunity to get to speak from the Word of God to you regularly at this church because I have all the answers. Hang out with me for just a few minutes and you'll be impressed by how little I do know. That's just honest truth. Ask my wife if I've arrived and you'll get more than you want to know in evidence that I haven't. But every week I have to deal with the weight of walking out and being a naturally handsome young man and thinking, how are they viewing me now? That's why I aim for this chubby fit dad bod. Because the weight of getting too ripped and chiseled and distracting you during the message doesn't seem beneficial. But if I just totally let myself go and I'm winded and I can't even get a preach out, then that's not helpful to anybody either. You don't know the weight. That's just physical and it's silly. I really thought more people would amen the good looking part. I really thought more people would amen the good looking part. Please don't make me beg. I'm being a little bit silly. That's just physical things. There's weight involved with that, but it's of a different kind. Did you know that I was not naturally the front of the room person growing up that people looked at me and said, you'll probably stand on in front of the stage in front of thousands one day? In fact, my college roommates, if they were tuning in, they had to sit me down one day after a gathering, a worship service that we went to, and in the large crowd, they said, dude, you're gonna have to quit hiding behind the couch in large crowds of people. Now, that's not how I saw it, But I was naturally not the upfront person. And it, for me, I get to walk out on stage knowing how privileged and honored I am and how desperately I need Jesus to show up in these moments, because this, believe it or not, is not my natural wiring. That's God at work. And if I waited until I felt 100% comfortable to be up here, you would never see me up here. Some of you are thinking, we wish you had waited till you were ready for this. But then there's also the reality that you don't understand the weight of what it's like to take something that is God's word and respect it so deeply and have the privilege and honor of coming, not speaking of my own advice and power, because I honestly don't have that much to offer you, but knowing that there's power in this book, that if you and I will commit ourselves to knowing it and valuing it, I believe it'll absolutely change your life. But knowing the wrestling that how many Sundays I show up just feeling like, God, am I gonna waste thousands of people's time today? And using the imagery of one of Jesus's very first miracles, you don't know how many times backstage I stand right over there saying, Jesus, all I have to offer today is water, but I know you turn water to wine, so would you do something and make this a Sunday that is totally just a God thing? I don't stand on the platform because I have the answers, because I have it together, or because even my faith is really that worth emulating. I have moments of doubt. I have moments where I'm incredibly self-conscious. I have moments where I question if I'm even helping anybody at all. But then I remind myself that this actually isn't an us thing. It's not a people thing. It's not a personality. It's not a preference thing. It's a God thing. And nothing can stop a movement of God when people are together in that. And here's why I take comfort in things like this, is I'm reminded of what Paul was, an early leader in the early church. He also wrote a lot of the books in what we call the New Testament part of the Bible. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. His words were in a conversation he was having with God. But he said to me, Paul is saying, God was speaking to him, my grace is sufficient for you. You see that? God's grace, my grace, my grace is sufficient. It's not gonna help, it's not gonna benefit, it's not gonna aid you, it is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. God is saying, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's a bold statement. It's a hopeful statement. That's the statement that more of us as believers need to jump into. I want my friend to hear from me about Jesus. I don't feel like I have all the answers, but I also will remember that Jesus's power is made perfect even if I show up and fumble through my best opportunity of telling somebody. I don't have my finances all together, but I'm so in on this mission that I'm gonna invest and by faith trust that God is my provider. I don't know what it looks like for me to engage somebody that I don't know with the truth of how good Jesus is, but I'm gonna give it a shot, not because I feel like I've arrived, but because the model of Jesus is to help people, and my goodness, he shows up in people that don't have it all together all the time. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. The temptation for all of us is going to listen to this message, to know that as a church, we wanna be known for being helpers. And to think, well, what do I have to offer? What we have is that we've been changed by God, who is strong when we're weak. Well, why would I help if God's got this? What we have is an opportunity to show up and be used by God for something bigger than we can ask or imagine. We want to be known as being helpers. Let me caution you. Let me wrap this up. This is a big idea that I want you to understand. In this, we don't help people because, these are the temptations that you and I will wrestle with. We don't help people because we have to. Throughout scripture, you see Jesus rushing to people that needed help and providing it for them. But I don't want you hearing me say that you have to start doing something, because this is not about you and it's not about my performance. We don't have to do this. I don't want you to help people because you feel like we ought to. That's still the wrong motive. We ought to help people if we want to reflect Jesus to them. And Jesus even said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. But just if you get to the place where you ought to do something, you're still missing the power of it. We don't help people because we're qualified to. Therefore, if that was the case, none of us would ever help anybody, at least in kingdom business. The common denominator of the moment you and I begin to view helping people through what it does to us is it makes serving more about us than actually helping people. All of these are about us. We don't help people because of us. Here's what I want you to hear. We help people because we need help. Remember last week, we're all people. We know what it's like to need God's grace in our lives. We know what it's like to need God to show up for us when we feel like we can't show up for ourselves. We know what it's like to need somebody to notice us, to need a place to belong, to need a place to be accepted, to need a place that can offer forgiveness. We've been there. Our church isn't full of perfect people. The church is full of broken people that know they need help. And if you've never been in a place where you needed help spiritually or emotionally or mentally or financially or physically, even prayerfully, then you're in the wrong church because this church doesn't have perfect, unbroken people in it. Instead, this is a church that's full of people that knows what it's like to need somebody, including God, to notice them and step in on their behalf. That's why we help people. We help people because we know what it's like. We've been there. We help people because when we see the hurt, we remind ourselves that we've been in that place. When we see the brokenness, we remind ourselves that we were enemies of God until Jesus showed up. We see those people and we don't judge them. We're filled with compassion because we are them. We help people because we can. Why would God bless us with this opportunity? Why would God bless us with this church? Why would God mobilize this church for it to just be an us thing and about what's comfortable to us? What if God was building all these things so that when we see needs as a church and as individuals, we help them simply because we can help them? This is a God thing, not an us thing. In other words, I want everybody to understand the big idea. We help people because all people need help. We've been there, all of us, at least spiritually. But if you've never had a moment where you got it wrong, if you've never had a moment where you failed, if you've never had a moment that you felt alone, that you felt broken, that you wondered if people noticed, man, then this is a moment to know that this is a place that's full of people that have gotten it wrong and Jesus has showed up for. We help people because all people need help. That's just life. It's hard. And following Jesus doesn't make life easy. The grace, the mercy, the hope, the love, the peace, the joy, the freedom, the purpose, the excitement, the passion, the energy that comes from encountering a God that's not busy just judging us in heaven, but instead was busy living the life we couldn't live, dying the death that we deserved so that we might find a life that we couldn't even imagine. That propels us to help people, all people, because we want them to get closer to God. Let me sum it up for you. I want to wrap this series up together. This is the opportunity. Bridgepoint's mission to help people, all people get closer to God. Here's what I want everybody to understand. These people, all people, these people will experience this best. These people will experience this best when they see this first. So as a church, as an organization, but as individual members of it, are we helpers? Because I'm confident the world doesn't need more people that are put together, judgmental, beat down type of people because they're not living right. The world needs to see more people that are coming up and saying, I can help because I've been there. And let me tell you about how I got out of it. That's a powerful statement. It's a powerful statement. So September's wrapping up. For a church, it's been a unique season for us. But now's the time. Am I in on this? Is this somewhere I can belong? Am I out on this? Is there too much expectation on me? Because here's what there's really not any wiggle room for. A movement of God doesn't afford anyone to just comfortably coast through this. If the weight's too much, I get that. Maybe it's not for you, but for the rest of us. Are you ready to help and help more? Are you ready to invest and invest more? Are you ready to go to all people, people that aren't like you? And are you ready to commit to yourself and to others that you're gonna do whatever it takes to get closer to God? Here's the response. For some of you, it's time to join Rooted. Next week, we start week one of virtual Rooted. It happens on Sunday and Thursday, and it is the behind the scenes structure of who we are as a church and what it's gonna look like for us to live out our mission. Some of you need to reach out and get signed up for Rooted. It's time. It's time to understand this church. For some of us, it's time for some of us to start helping. There's no just another Sundays at Bridgepoint. So maybe your call is to say, man, if God's showing up, if God's working in this place, then it's time for me to give myself away here somewhere, somehow. Whether it's next gen, helping somebody find a seat, greeting them so they feel a part and energized about what God wants to do in this place. All those opportunities are available so that you get to be a part of the eternity-changing experiences that God does in this church. Maybe it's time just to open our eyes to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to the people in our city, to the people not like us, to the people that are hurting, that feel broken, to the poor and to the rich, to the folks that are serving us and the folks that are leading us. And instead of just showing up saying, what am I getting out of this? Maybe it's time for us as a church to ask ourselves this question. How can I help you? What if? What if together we rolled out of September holding tightly to a mission as a group of people that every person we encountered, it wasn't, what am I gonna get out of this? How much time is this gonna cost me? How much money is this gonna cost me? What's it gonna do for me? But instead we simply asked, how can I help you? Trusting that somewhere in the middle, God shows up and does what only God can do. Commit, recommit, invest and be a part. Because now more than ever, I believe God wants to do an incredible work through our church. And it's time for us to decide if we're ready to say, how can I help you? Trusting that God's gonna do in and through us what we couldn't even ask for ourselves. Would you pray with me? God, this is not an us thing. Us things fail. This is a God thing. And in God things, God, we just want to be positioned where we say, God, how could you use somebody like me? Not perfect, not having all the answers, not having our lives together, not because we have to, not because we ought to, not because we've arrived, but God, because we get to. God, would you make us a people that are aimed at seeing all people through the question of how can I help you? Jesus, would you show up for all people, us, for our city, for our county, and do what only you can do? Thank you, Jesus, that you make it possible. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tyler. That's a